According to a new book entitled Anatomy of a Revolution, recently published by Castelvecchi in Italy, we are immersed in the most serious crisis of human history. The economic, financial, ecological, food, energy, and migratory crises are all intertwined and additional. The book claims that representative democracy is helpless against the last frontier of the great speculative bubble of the millennium, the financialization of the ecological crisis. What is needed, claims the author, is a new ethic that is based on ecological justice. To discuss this new book, I'm joined today by the author, Giuseppe Tommaso. Giuseppe is an economist, activist, and spokesperson for the association called ASUD. ASUD serves to support the social and indigenous movements in the Global South through the construction of bridges of understanding and reciprocal solidarity with the North. ASUD participates in the struggle for the defense of the commons and against the privatization for international trade based on solidarity and environmental sustainability, and for a democratic participation of citizens in policy making. Giuseppe is also a scientific director of the Documentation Center on Environmental Conflicts in Rome, which is a partner of the eJolt initiative. To help with any translations that might be needed, I'm afraid my Italian is non-existent, we are also joined by his colleague, Lucie Grail, who works with ASUD and with the Documentation Center on Environmental Conflicts. She has many other roles, and I'm glad that she is joining us so that we can have a good conversation to understand the complexities of some of the issues that Giuseppe will be raising. Welcome to the show, Giuseppe and Lucie.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for inviting us.
You're very welcome. Now, Giuseppe, tell me, why did you come to write this book?
Because, you know, there is an urgent need for a new analysis to change our point of view on the crisis. We are victim of austerity policies, and at the same time, we are victim of the failure of the alternatives that could be developed in Europe, for example. In a sort of way, we are orphans of a different point of view that left party used to offer. In the meantime, we live in the worst crisis of all the time in Europe, like you remember before. They bring back Europe in the darkness time. We need the strong thought to organize people victim of the crisis. History teaches us that the one to catch on the crisis are usually the populism of extreme right, like in the First and Second World War. After, for example, the crisis of 29, we inherited Mussolini, Franco, Hitler, Petain, Stalin. So the book contributes to building the new thought that we need, because we cannot overcome the crisis with all thought of socialism, communism, with all respect that this kind of theory needs. So I wrote this book because we are seriously convinced that the time arrived for propose a change. For the condition imposed by the crisis, we think that for the first time in decades, our proposals are socially desirable, considering that the majority of the material condition of European people are increasingly worsening. So we trust that people will choose what is right for them. This time, environmental and social justice is good for them.
Before we come into discussing some of the solutions that you are proposing, help us understand how you see the nature of the crisis. And you say it's the most serious crisis in human history. Can you explain that a little further?
Yes, we are living for the first time in the history of a human being, six crises, all linked together. Energy crisis, economic crisis, environmental crisis, financial crisis, migration crisis, food crisis. It's the first time that human beings face the power of this crisis. And it's impossible for us to solve these crises once per time. I mean, we cannot face the complexity of the crisis with approach that analyze only one crisis at a time. Official thinking speak about the growth to solve the problem of the economical crisis, for example. And they say we start from the economical crisis. Others speak about the environmental crisis. Others speak about other crises. So we say, a lot of people in the world, a lot of scientists, intellectual activists, that for the first time we face the failure of a capitalism paradigm of civilization. It means that we are facing a structure, a system crisis, and we have to react, we have to face to this crisis, rebuilding a thinking and facing all together this crisis to give alternative point of view on how we can solve contemporaneously the crisis.
Right. I mean, one of the most interesting things that you've raised in your book, which is a subject which is often ignored by many writers, even on the radical left, and that is the interrelationship between racism or environmental racism and environmental justice. This is an issue that has rarely been addressed. Can you tell me more about your understanding of the nature of racism in relation to environmental justice?
First of all, environmental racism is to be found everywhere in society, in the industry, in the education system, in the juridical system, in the workplace, in the agriculture. Environmental racism shifts risks and burdens on the poorest, on the less advantaged communities, on indigenous community, on the ones excluded from the decision-making, on the weakest workers. So the discriminations are the manifestations of institutional racism. Reducing precaution at workplaces, exposing human to pesticides, investing in contaminating technologies, dilating the environmental clear-up, failing international agreement and regulation, creating company for environmental risk management are proofs of the relation between environmental racism, economical blackmail, and the governments. I mean, the actual structure of governance.
So you see this as a sort of fundamental part of modern capitalism, of the imperial experience.
Is the evolution of the system in which everybody lives on. I mean, nowadays we use the nature to build the
plus valor,
the plus value of this capitalism structure. So in the time of the crisis, in the time that we live on a global overshooting day, I mean that we are consuming the resource of the nature in a year before that year passed. So in this kind of situation, it's evident proof that environmental racism, economical blackmail are part of the new form of capitalism. So environmental justice is the answer to environmental racism, is the answer against the exposition of human to pesticides, is the answer of the community that doesn't want a big project on their territories, is the answer that communities give us to live good against a system that give us bad lives.
Okay, so one of the central tenets of your book, Anatomy of a Revolution, is that you insist on the need for ensuring the same time justice and sustainability. You talk about the need for a new ethics of environmental justice. What do you mean by that?
The book opened with a question, no? How and to which ends a fair society should distribute the environmental benefits? How should a society distribute environmental burden produced by society? We should look at the answers in the consequences. answers to this question are the result of different approaches and the concept of justice. And we know that the way we usually think justice is the product of our ethics and politics. For us, all people have the same right to protect it from environmental contamination and have the same right to live in a safe environment and enjoy it. Environmental justice adopts the model of public health prevention plan by the precaution principle. Environmental justice shifts the burden of proof on who contaminates. So we face two kinds of problems: the problem of injustice and the problem of the ecological crisis nowadays in the world. Everybody. We analyze, for example, the sustainable development that does not include any social equity perspective, separating environmental crisis from social crisis. It's a giant mistake for which we are all paying the price. Today's mantra seems to be first grow, all the rest goes after. If we want to solve the problem, we have to think how to put together the issue of justice and sustainability. For this reason, we need to speak of intergenerational duties as a way to ensure environmental sustainability.
Can you explain that a little further? What do you mean by intergenerational duties?
Means that we are responsible also from the equity that in Africa or in Latin America or in other parts of the world we need. Today, the biggest environmental problem is the social inequity. This is the question. Unfortunately, sustainable development speaks only about intergenerational duties, I mean, between current and future generation, ignoring the relation now that we have in the world. I mean, we have 3 billion people that doesn't eat, that doesn't have access to water, they don't have medicine care. I mean, this kind of social injustice are the basis of environmental insustainability of this kind of system.
So if I understand you right, what you're saying is that we need not only to think about the future and what we leave behind, but also to deal with the massive injustices and social differentiation that we have today, in today's world.
That's right. You know, the failure of a lot of theory that we face today is that the theory are very abstract. And so they don't start from the reality of situation. They don't face the reality of situation. Nowadays, the reality is this. So if you want to solve the injustice, we have to analyze how injustice are created. We have to analyze the way, the process to build the injustice. I mean, today, the way that injustice are created are cultural, political and economical structure. If you want to solve this kind of situation, we have to change at political, cultural and economical level. This is the reason because we need to speak about intergenerational justice, because it doesn't make sense to speak of a duty put at intergenerational level if we don't recognize that we have a lot of inequity nowadays.
This is Feroz Manji. I'm talking to Giuseppe Tommaso from Italy, who is the author of a very, very powerful book called The Anatomy of a Revolution.